across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Back at 7:06 on this Thursday morning, March the 14th, 2024. Nice to have you along. Senator Jeff Smith will join us in a second, along with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Greg Bach and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. First, a couple of quick notes off the text line from when Joe Zepecki was on in the last hour. And in both cases from the caller, it just seems like there's an ongoing need to correct the record where possible. No, the bipartisan border security and immigration bill would not have allowed in 15,000 illegals a month, as the texter put it. The number was 5,000, and it doesn't let them in. We're talking about contacts at the border. We can't go opposing bills if we're going to exaggerate or not know what's in them. And then the note that says drop boxes equal cheating. Again, no. What's the, everybody remember the name of that goofball movie that came up after 2020? Was it 2,000 Mules or 10,000 Mules or whatever
something
it was?
Something about mules.
2,000
yeah,
Mules.
Something about the drop boxes. No. None of that evidence ever played out, and drop boxes were perfectly fine by Republican and conservative judges until Donald Trump lost and needed to blame somebody. So a couple of notes on the text line, but we're always happy to have your input, even if it's a matter of sometimes having to correct the record at 855-75-CIVIC. 7:08 now, time to get a look at the forecast, which, again, this time of year, you're going to get all kinds of things. It's going to be a little cooler, going to be a little warmer. The wind is going to bring up the fire danger. You name it, Brittany Merlot is covering it. Brittany, good morning. What are we looking like today?
Oh, good morning, everyone. We've got temperatures all over the board this morning. I'm talking Eagle River is sitting at 28 degrees right now. Meanwhile, Boscobel is at 54 degrees.
Wow.
So huge, huge temperature differences throughout the state. And that's what's going to happen here today because we have a storm system, of course, striking into Illinois. It's brung severe weather and tornadoes to them here for us into the state of Wisconsin. We're just seeing that light rain pushing into the state line off towards Madison and in towards Milwaukee as well. So as we go through our day, we're going to see that rain increase. It's going to get a little bit heavier, come down, of course, throughout the afternoon. And we are still on track to see anywhere from a half an inch to nearly an inch of rainfall throughout Madison and into Milwaukee. And of course, south of I-94 throughout today. We need the rain. We're in a drought. And we, of course, want to rid that wildfire risk as well. So we'll take it. Now, the places that aren't going to see any rain at all is up north. From about I-29 and north, you're probably not going to see much of anything but cloud cover today. And if you're along Lake Superior, you're going to see temperatures the same as the southern half of the state. You guys are going to all stay into those low to mid 40s today, which is kind of a shock to the system after 70s, isn't it? But we got, yeah, it'll do. But we are going to see some nice warm temperatures still kind of holding on into Eau Claire, maybe into Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, into the 50s potentially, because we're missing that rain and we might even see a little bit of sun peek through.
Well, and again, our average temperatures this time of year are supposed to be in like the upper 30s. So we really have nothing to complain about, and we'll take the whatever adds to the soil moisture. So it works for us. Brittany Merlot, thank you so much. Have a wonderful
day. Thank you. You too.
Hey, coming up later this hour, Kristen Lyerly's guest is Ann Rowe on Women Winning Wisconsin about an assembly race in the Janesville area. There's also a new episode of the Vibes Only podcast from Courier Newsroom. Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar will talk to Democratic strategist Keith Edwards about President Biden's State of the Union address and how it reset the vibes and set the tone for the general election campaign. They'll also talk about former President Trump's willingness to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And then they always finish with some sort of a good vibe. So go to couriernewsroom.com for more or wherever you get your podcasts. And Mr. Bach has decided to stop playing Jamaican music whenever we talk about the good vibes that are out there. So let's bring in our own human good vibe. Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire area, town of Brunswick. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Jesus, let's get that background music going. Good vibes. That'd be great. I could use that.
You could. That would have really come in handy during that final Senate floor period on Tuesday, which I did not realize until
the next day, that it ended rather abruptly, that Republicans didn't even finish the calendar. They got to a certain point in it, said they'd done enough. And I mean, you were sitting right there when they gaveled it out, right? What was that like?
Well, we jumped up, but they ignored us, kept their head down, pretended we weren't even in the room.
It was the
12th order of business. We actually have 15 orders of business. And they are so afraid of what we might say, what we might try to pass in this legislature of good policy. They are so afraid of good policy that they had to run out of that room as fast as they could. And I shouldn't say it should be, it's so surprising, but it was just really disappointing.
Well, again, because we like to think, I certainly, when I was serving there, and you as well, like to think that we're working with a lot of people who have honor and a sense of responsibility and a sense of respect for one another, respect for the body. And so when you have a calendar that at the end is usually filled with, you know, resolutions that congratulate people for this thing or that thing, I mean, it's really one of the few pieces of good news that comes out of a legislative session are these moments of recognition and honor. And they decided that they weren't going to go with that because they wanted to bail out so quickly. And I think not have to debate any other bills that they didn't get done, because that would have also been the place where motions could have been made to say, I'd like to bring up, you know, such and such a bill, and then force them to take a vote against it. Seems to me if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to hide by taking a vote that says, no, we actually don't want to take up anything that might be more of a middle-class tax cut. No, we don't actually want to expand Medicaid. They just seem afraid to actually take a stand for the things that they actually do believe in.
Yeah, we have a long list of things that we did not come around to doing. We didn't even have public hearings on, for instance, expungement. People who have served their time and should be given the opportunity to be productive citizens and to not have that stigma attached to them. They didn't want to see that bill that we have. They didn't want to see a family medical leave bill that we have to come to the floor and have to talk about that, why they refused to hear that. They didn't want to hear that they are refusing, like you said, Medicaid expansion. When we got a major hospital two major hospitals closing up here in my district, they didn't want to hear so many good ideas that actually people really are begging for us to pass, that they don't want to have that hanging around their neck.
Well, what I think they saw coming, and Kristen, I don't think I've talked to you about this, but there was one of the bills that did pass. Was some kind of a tax break on, was it sales or buying gold bars and gold bullion, things like that? You would get this tax credit for buying gold. And so a couple of your colleagues said, well, I would like to amend the bill. One of them was extending or making it easier for veterans and surviving spouses to get a property tax credit. And the other, Senator Kelder-Royce, got up and said, well, I'd like to add a tax break for feminine products and for diapers. We're one of those states that's still taxing diapers. And they shot those amendments down while passing the bill for the tax breaks for gold bullion. And Kristen, I think that's what's referred to as the pink tax as well, that, you know, women's products and some family products. You can't get a break on those. Apparently, you need to start wrapping diapers in gold bars.
Well, yeah, that would be one way to solve that problem. I mean, I think it really tells us where our Republican legislators' heads are at. They are not valuing women and children and families. They are valuing dollars and power. And, you know, to that end, I'm wondering, Senator Smith, with the new maps that we have in the Green Bay area, I am definitely seeing our senators up here who, three of the state senators live within 5 miles of each other, and they have ridiculously gerrymandered districts that were clearly drawn to give them districts. But now with new maps, they are, for the first time in a very long time, understanding that they're going to have to fight to maintain their districts. They are going to have to actually be elected by people who believe in them and what they're doing. And I wonder how that is being reflected in their behavior as you're all working together.
I think it's interesting, Kristen. You see, We have same thing you're experiencing in Green Bay. Here too, in the Eau Claire area, we have a legislator who's moving to a different district that looks like, I got to move to a district that looks easy for me. It's gerrymandering in another way. You can't draw the district around you, so you're going to put yourself in a district you prefer. I didn't know, by the way, or it didn't occur to me that this job is so valuable and that you're going to put yourself into that position, that you're going to move your whole families just so you can have that position and that title and continue to hold that. You know, Chris, people don't realize that they drew those maps around three different legislators within 5 mile radius of each other, that so they could hold three different districts, when in fact they should be in one district, which is what the new map does, and does it the right way. That I keep saying and reminding people that, you know, ungerrymandering the state looks a lot like gerrymandering to those people who have been holding that power for so long.
Oh yeah, they really feel like they have been, you know, victims here. And but why would somebody move the way that Assembly Rep Karen Hurd says she's going to move from Fall Creek into Clark County? Well, again, she's about to get paid for 9 months of not having any more floor sessions of lawmakers who aren't making laws. And yet the Republican lawmakers are saying, we'll continue to take the pay that goes along with it, despite what's happening there. We'll talk more about this and so much more with Senator Jeff Smith coming up in just a bit. First, a little sports as we come up on 7:18. The Bucks host the Philadelphia 76ers tonight, 6:30. The broadcast begins on Oshkosh Air Support. News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. The Badger men's basketball team is on the air this afternoon for the Big Ten tournament at the Target Center in Minneapolis. The Badgers are the 5 seed, taking on 12 seed Maryland this afternoon. And those games can be heard on locally grown radio in Rapids. News from the Center in Richland Center, WLAK Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine. The Marquette men, they're in the Big East Conference tournament at Madison Square Garden. They have a quarterfinal game tonight versus Villanova. 8:30 is the estimated tip-off, and that'll be a nationally televised game on FS1. Still to come, Assembly candidate Ann Rowe will be talking about things down in the Janesville area, but we'll continue our conversation about Chippewa Valley matters with State Senator Jeff Smith, along with Kristen Lyerly, Greg Bach. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're not doing Austin Powers right now. We are saluting Quincy Jones, who wrote the Soul Bossa Nova, and today he turns 90 years old. So happy birthday to Quincy Jones. State Senator Jeff Smith joins us, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Greg Bach, all here as well. Because of the new borders, all of the assembly district, well, all of the districts look different. Anybody running for assemblies on the ballot, but only half of the Senate, because it's a four-year term. So some folks are not campaigning this year, but they still have new districts. What does it look like for you there in the Chippewa Valley, Senator
Smith? So I am an odd senator. Odd numbered senator. So I am not on the ballot this year. My district is not. Neither is my colleague on the Republican side, Jesse James, who is now paired in my district. And that's something that has come up in the press and around here somewhat. They always ask me, Jesse's kind of groaning about this map. And I say, well, welcome back. Because when I was in the state assembly, that area, that Altoona where Jesse lives, was in my district until it was gerrymandered out. So it's just like I said, we're ungerrymandering the districts. And now I have a true Chippewa Valley state senate district that I'm really looking forward to learning more from my constituents in that area.
And that's still shaking out, of course, with the new lines as far as who's going to run in what. And I would think, because we still have the spring elections ahead of us on Tuesday, April 2nd, including a presidential primary, but also all the local nonpartisan general elections, So I would imagine it will be shortly thereafter that we're going to start getting probably a flurry of campaign announcements from all the districts around you and the rest of the state. You get that sense people are going to be ready to jump in sooner rather than later?
I've had a lot of conversations with potential candidates, and there's a lot of excitement, and which is overdue, long overdue. A lot of people have been holding back because gerrymandering has really discouraged them, but now people are encouraged with competitive maps. I don't even like to use the word fair anymore. I think fair is something that everybody's got their own view of what fair is, but competitive. That's what the state of Wisconsin was really needed, and the voters are really excited about, and candidates are coming out and saying, hey, I can do this. I can compete.
Yeah, you're right. Because again, fair maps, that's a subjective term, but more competitive, that's objective. By every measure, these are going to be more competitive districts. Kristen, he's simply reaffirming what you're seeing over in Northeast Wisconsin in terms of candidate enthusiasm. Do you feel like the dam is about to burst over there too with candidates?
It's so exciting. In the last cycle in Northeastern Wisconsin, of the 23 seats that are going to be on the ballot this fall, only two are held by Democrats. And that's shocking because it's a reddish district, but it's not that red. And part of the problem is that a third of the seats went entirely unchallenged because they weren't competitive. And why would people step up and put their lives on hold to run for something and, you know, use all this time and money and love for something that they didn't think that was going to end up, you know, winning? Mm-hmm. But it's entirely different now. People really do feel hope. They feel enthusiasm. And I think, honestly, we're going to have a full slate of candidates for all of the assembly seats and all of the state seats.
I get that same sense from the western end of the state, Jeff, as well, that you'll definitely be able to count on one hand at best the number of districts where you just it's too tough to recruit a candidate to run. And I might be wrong. It might be 99 assembly candidates.
Yeah, I think we're going to have, like Kristen says, a pretty full slate. And it's really exciting. It's helpful. It's helpful to the voters to have choices. It's helpful to the candidates to have to learn that, hey, basically, we got to start listening to the voters. And we got to start working together with the colleagues on the other side of the aisle. Pat, you and I know what that's like when you have a tight margin, no matter who's in the majority, you have to pay attention to everybody and consider all thoughts and ideas. And again, going back to what happened this week and how they gaveled out so quickly, they're not going to be able to afford to do things like that and ignore some of the great things that the voters themselves really want. Look at the things that were actually passed in the state assembly, some by unanimous votes that we didn't even take up in the state Senate because we have just a few, maybe a handful of very radical Republican right-wing senators who stop really good things from happening. I mean, we got a bill, Roper, that gets a lot of attention, the right of first refusal, so that our state utilities can continue to control the power in our state rather than some out-of-state investors. We don't want those out-of-state investors to take over. Can you imagine a Texas-like blackout that could happen in Wisconsin? We can't let that happen. But you know what? They chose not to take the chance because Americans for Prosperity were taking a stand. And guess who owns Americans for Prosperity or who is the backbone of Americans for Prosperity? The Koch brothers in the energy sector out of Kansas. Gee, what a surprise.
You know, it sounds almost like the way that people are still puzzled that Donald Trump was actually for a TikTok ban before he was against it. And in the interim, he got significant campaign donations from top level folks at TikTok. I don't know what it is that could have changed Trump's mind, though, on this matter. One of the other bills that didn't pass, that again came out of the assembly and would have passed in an instant, is the one that would have allowed local elections clerks to begin processing absentee ballots earlier. And obviously I've said and I could be accused of being overly cynical, but I've said it seems like, unfortunately, Republican Senate leader Devin Lemahieu and some other Republicans there would rather allow the problem to perpetuate so they can continue to peddle the conspiracy and the lies about late night ballots in Milwaukee. Or, Jeff, is there more to it than that? Am I being too harsh on your Republican Senate colleagues?
You're being too kind, Pat. They're bowing to the same fools who thought, let's go after Robin Voss, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to get a special election between now when they're out of session till the next election in November. I mean, I'm sorry, but I just keep smiling within. I'm going to eat somebody else's popcorn, but I'm going to sit on the sideline and eat somebody else's popcorn and watch that show down there in southeastern Wisconsin. But you know, but you brought up before I came on about the ballot boxes too. I mean, they're just bowing to this whole crazy conspiratorial fear that this group has. And I mean, I got to make a comment about those boxes. I mean, you know, do they realize that when a clerk opens the boxes and goes through those ballots, they have to be ballots that the clerks themselves submit or sent to a voter. They can't be copies. They can't be anything somebody just made up. You know, they're going to, if somebody's so silly and foolish, they're going to do something like that, they're going to get thrown away because they're not genuine ballots. I mean, people are so foolish about these things.
No, and it, and again, when you don't take concrete action, it allows that misinformation to continue getting spread out there. And then finally, in the couple of seconds left, I didn't mention earlier that Rob from Tigerton reports that it's cloudy and 40, trying to get the lawnmower ready. But then while I was away during a commercial break, he put in Saturday Nights in Wisconsin, Lawrence Welk versus Hee Haw. And apparently you held your kids, or were you held hostage to watch Lawrence Welk as a kid? Is that what I'm getting from this?
That's exactly right. Kristen and I were having that conversation before we got on air. Yes.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah. I thought Lawrence Welk was Saturday and Hee Haw was Sunday, but I could be wrong. Either way, again, only a couple of channels. You were going to watch them one way or the other. So
your memory is failing you, Pat.
I know, but you are the Buck Owens to my Roy Clark. So thank you, Jeff Smith. Good to have you here. Minnie Pearl is coming back with us after the break, and we'll talk to Ann Rowe as part of the Women Win Wisconsin segment here on Up North News Radio. Girls, we run this mother. Mark Jacob will help us break down the way the media has covered the big stories of the week. Dan Schumacher will help us get into the weekend with sports. And Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil joins us as well. Kristen Lyerly is with us now for our Women Win Wisconsin segment, introducing us to women in local communities all around Wisconsin who are looking to make a difference one way or another, many of them considering or making runs for a political office. And Kristen has a familiar name and face to share with us for this week's installment. Kristen?
I love this segment. I love elevating women. I love the knowledge that we are going to have a record number of women in the Wisconsin legislature come November. And someone who I have had my eye on for a long time is joining us this morning, the incredible Ann Rowe. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you so much, Kristen. It is such a pleasure to see you and be with you, especially at this time in our state's history, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've been working on this for years. And like we were saying during the break, it's been incremental change. The people of Wisconsin working on Wisconsin. And we're finally at the precipice of something that is very, very exciting. And for you, running for Assembly District 44 in the Janesville area, this is really especially exciting, but our listeners might not be as familiar with you as I am. So tell us about who you are. Who is Ann Rowe, and why is she the perfect person to represent the people of the 44th?
Well, I am delighted with this opportunity to introduce myself. I have been a resident here in Janesville with my husband. We raised both our children here through Janesville Public Schools, and we've been here for 30 years, which approaches higher math for me. And to see the growth, not only of the Janesville community, but to see the growth of Wisconsin and paired that with some really big problems that we face and challenges that we face, that we all face, and as a state. So through my community service and leadership, I've had the privilege also of teaching at University of Wisconsin-Whitewater in the College of Business for over 25 years. By far, one of the greatest jobs ever, with a tremendous group of students over those years. And I am hopeful for the future, but at the same time, I am worried. We have work to do. And I ran unsuccessfully for Congress in the first district, but we came closer than any Democrat has come in over 20 years. And what that revealed to me was a whole host of issues and more importantly, people that are working on these issues every day from all vantage points. And I, as my 97-year-old friend told me when I announced my run for the 44th District Assembly, which includes most of Janesville and outlying areas to the west, he said, "Ow, Ann, I didn't think you were going to stay quiet for too long." And he is right. He is right. When this opportunity came up, boy, it's a great way to get things done at the local and state level.
I love that about you. And you've done so much in your community and you're effective there. What was it that made you decide to turn your energy to the political world? Was there one thing that made you go, "I got to run for office," or was it just a compilation of many things?
I think it was a compilation, and I'm going to give a shout out to our daughter. Not that I don't love my son as well. I love him very much as well. But my daughter, several years ago, you know, we would discuss so many of the issues that she was looking at and that those generations are looking at and are worried about. And she just turns to me and says, "Mom, you got to run. You've got to run." And I took that to heart. And she shared some readings that she was looking at in college. I talked among friends. I talked to my mentors. And, you know, the common response was, "We've been waiting for you." I can't tell you how humbling that is. That just struck me. And I want to use those skills, build those relationships, and lift everybody forward. That's what I believe.
And yet, you've already given your opponents their first political hit piece, and they're going to say in big, bold letters over a distorted picture of you, "Why does Ann Rowe like her daughter better than her son? Does she have a favorite child?" Because I'm only half kidding. It's that goofy out there. And you know, you've run for Congress, I've run for Congress, you know what the hit pieces look like. So let's go ahead and hit some of that, because when Governor Tony Evers has put forth each of his budgets and has called lawmakers into special session to say, "Come on, guys, let's work on a middle-class income tax cut. Let's work on jobs. Let's work on health care." We always get the same response back, and it's what you're going to hear on the campaign. Oh, there they go again with their liberal wish list, you know, and it's so expensive spending our money on these wish list items. So, Anne, when you get called a big tax and spender, how are you responding?
First of all, I'm a big believer that you cannot spend and save at the same time. So, you know, we have resources at hand. It's important to use those judiciously and make sure that we are delivering value back to our taxpayers and our communities. So I do believe in that. But I also believe, as a business owner and as somebody who has been involved in business for most of my career, that these solutions that I'm looking for in healthcare and childcare, these are the common denominators that are going to lift our communities and our businesses forward. And without those, we are holding not only people back, obviously, we are holding those organizations and those communities back. And in my conversations throughout the district with people on both sides of the aisle, business owners, farmers, they agree. They want those issues fixed, because at the end of the day, we're all paying for it. And no one chooses to be sick. No one chooses to be poor. And those individuals are desperate to participate in our communities and our economies. And our mission is to lift them and give them that opportunity. So from a business standpoint, this makes complete sense.
And you've just given me such a light bulb moment over here, because all the time we hear about, you know, the socialism and the socialists, and the knee jerk response is always like, "Well, so the fire department is socialist? Is that what you're trying to say?" But the way that you just expressed it, as common denominators, every society decides what its common denominators are, like the education of our kids, like health, roads that aren't strewn with potholes, that there are just certain common denominators that should be part of a community sense of shared values, and have our elected officials, you know, write bills and budgets that reflect those.
Absolutely. And when I hear about, you know, our local firefighters and the starting salaries, and that they don't provide a sustainable way of life. In fact, they've taken off the requirement that you need to live in the city because there's no affordable housing. And, you know, people hear affordable housing and somehow that's gotten a bad rap. Why shouldn't we be looking for ways to lift everyone up? I mean, it really is the truth that when we lift everybody forward, you know, we all benefit. And I can't sit still, can't sit on the sidelines and watch people who either, you know, resist making smart decisions and smart policy decisions, or do so out of cruelty or some form of judgment. And judgment doesn't belong in government. That's not our mission.
And as you're talking with people in the Janesville area and surrounding areas, what are the common themes that you're hearing? What do the people want, and how do you intend to bring that forward?
So healthcare comes up absolutely every day. And it is healthcare for all ages, for all genders. It is a primary concern. The affordability, the access, the difficulty of navigating prescriptions, navigating care for children and dependents with special needs. It is mind-bending. And the cost. Nobody should be bankrupted because they got sick, right? So that comes up every day. Childcare. People need access to great quality childcare. As a college teacher for decades, I see those little people at the other end. And you know what? It shows. You know who has gotten access to great starts at the very beginning of their education and the very beginning of their care journey. And so that, again, you know, from a business standpoint, if employees and small business owners have access to quality childcare, which means paying childcare providers and providing that assistance, right? They go on to do great things because they have confidence and they can participate in their communities and their business. So top two, you know, hard to pick because we are facing a few.
You're so right. There is so much work to do and no lack of, you have no lack of energy to accomplish that, which is what you've demonstrated over time. Tell us something fun about you. Yeah, right. I know that that's kind of an unusual question, but you are just such an inspiration to me and to the people around you. And you have been for so long.
Well, I enjoy immensely connecting people. And, you know, my parents, where I grew up in Evanston, Illinois, they won the award in the local parish every year for knowing the most people. And it wasn't that, you know, they just kind of schmoozed and knew people. No, they knew people. And I think I've carried on that tradition of I'm intensely curious. I enjoy people of all ages. And as far as fun, I'm very happy to tell you that for the first time ever, I entered two pieces of artwork in our local art league winter show. And that was a big deal to me. I've never put my artwork out in public, not for any reason, but I'm always in awe of artists. And so that was a big deal for me. And art has always been a thing. And I encourage everybody to do something outside their normal, you know, work to work sort of day. And another fun thing, Mondays are my favorite day. But Mondays, everything is possible. Nothing has gone wrong yet.
That's not fun. That's weird.
That's right? Look, we have Kristen on every Monday at 6:30 because I need something, you know, light and bright to start the day. And even she's thinking that you're crazy for embracing Mondays like this. So if we can get the two of you to appear on Monday mornings, I mean, look, all the better. Hey, as the district has changed, do you feel like you're going to have to do a lot of voter education as well to help people understand where they are? Are you prepared to do that? Or do you think it won't come up nearly as much as other issues do?
Oh, I think it will come up. And I think, you know, the changes, I really applaud Governor Evers, you know, as a fellow teacher, he followed instructions, right? So he balanced those districts out as best as anybody I think could, and got us moving in the right direction. So there is some changes. And you know what I would say is, you know, no matter what the year is, voter education, voter contact is 110% of the mission, no matter what. And in this case, obviously, to assure people where they are in the scheme of things and the maps and so forth, but also to let them know what's on the line and to make it personal and to share those values and hear people, you know, on both sides, right? Because I will tell you that in my conversations and moving throughout the district, people on the other side of the aisle are very anxious. Those voters are very anxious for solutions and work to get done. So I think that voter education is going to be key no matter what. And I can't wait. The weather, weirdly, is cooperating with that. So,
although there will be plenty of door-knocking days, whatever the weather here, that folks can look out for you in that Janesville Assembly District. Ann Rowe, thank you so much for being part of our show this morning. Best of luck to you.
What a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, you bet. Kristen's going to hang around as we talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Luke Mathers, as far as what's coming up on civic media stations all around the network. And we'll also ask, what's up with Eric Hovde? Turns out if it were up to him, there wouldn't be alcohol sales in Wisconsin. We'll explain. Coming up in just a bit. You're up north. Luke Mathers joins us now on Up North News Radio for this Thursday and joins us from the palatial studios of the Shaw, WAUK, in beautiful downtown Waukesha.
Yeah.
Mr. Mathers, your picture's a little spotty, but I think I can hear you. Yes, sir?
I can hear you guys, so I apologize. The picture's coming in spotty.
That's okay. I figure most of the camera wants Greg Bach, who's on the other side of that wall
fair.
From you.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm fighting. I'm fighting him for Wi-Fi now. So it's
the camera.
It's just...
The camera loves him,
and I'm winning.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So, Mr. Mathers, we got some busy times coming up here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got Badger basketball this afternoon.
Oh yeah, and hopefully Badger basketball for more games to come throughout the weekend. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be very interesting to see how the Big Ten tournament plays out. Maryland took care of business yesterday in the first game, so it'll be interesting if the Badgers can use the rest that they've had to take care of business today, or if Maryland's going to be kind of continuing a hot streak going on into the tournament.
So that's by day, and then by evening, the Bucks are hosting the Sixers tonight. So you definitely get your fill of basketball this time of year, including on your local radio stations.
Yeah, and we're just kicking off baseball coverage as well. You got spring training games across the Civic Media Radio Network, so you can tune in, hear what's going on with the Brewers across the network as well, and then opening day is just right around the corner, the end of March. It's going to be here.
So crazy.
Yeah. We started off the show by talking about how it was National Pi Day because, you know, 3.14 on the calendar there. So, Mr. Mathers.
Where's my slice? Did you send them down? What the heck?
Where do you get your favorite pie? And what kind is it?
I'm not a big pie guy, to be fair.
We're losing your connection here, buddy. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you're breaking up, buddy. Sorry.
See, it's funny because the audio connection should be perfect because I'm in the studio. Literally, the only problem that this connection is I'm not relying on StreamYard right now for anything other than video. But I'm not a big pie guy. I do like I've been dabbling a little bit more with cherry and apple, but I don't have like enough pie eaten to have like a favorite.
Mr. Bach.
What's was with the exception of Pat, because he's a killjoy, what's your opinion on strawberry rhubarb pie?
I don't know if I've had enough to have an opinion. Like, strawberry
you
rhubarb.
You only need a bite. What are you talking about?
Have you, ever, taken a bite out of a Goodyear tire by chance? Because then you've had, you know, rhubarb.
Go take your coconut and go back to your lake. I don't want to listen to you.
Rhubarb's probably better than coconut.
Thank you.
Control over my show here, Kristen.
My preferred coconut, I guess, would have to be this time of year in a caramel delight. But, like, that's about it.
Oh, see, now he's back.
Yeah, but outside of... I was going to say, outside of that, like, coconut doesn't do a whole lot.
My preferred.
You play both sides so well. You could be Eric Hovde right now.
What?
You understand? I mean,
that is an insult to me. What the heck? Why are you throwing insults like that around?
He's trying to be a real Wisconsin guy while we've learned about the tens of millions he's invested in insurance companies overseas to avoid paying taxes. And then comes this article yesterday that a couple of years back, he was talking about, well, the question was about, marijuana legalization, but he kind of turned it into, well, alcohol is so much worse that maybe we shouldn't have had legal commercial sales of alcohol. Makes for a great headline that Rolling Stone had yesterday about, you know, Eric Hovde is running for Senate and took a bold stance against the sale of alcohol, .. in Wisconsin. Great headline out of Rolling Stone.
He's going to have to do another ad where he just chugs a beer.
I don't know how much of a fake accent, you know, can really bring you back from that one, but we'll find out, I guess, this election cycle. I have a feeling. Mm-hmm. He's already jumped in a lake. He very well, Greg, could shotgun a beer in his next little viral video that he tries to get going.
It would be as awkward as everything else that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Kristen, all the boys have been talking, running roughshod all over you here. So back to your favorite pie or place to get a pie.
I love pie. I love all pie, whether it has coconut in it or rhubarb, all of it. I make an award-winning apple pie.
Of course you do.
Of course you do.
Wisconsin's most interesting woman. She's just got it all.
Did you just call her a woman?
Woman.
I was trying to do like an accent thing on it with the Hovde, and it didn't work. I can't do accents. I'm sorry. Yeah, I tried to bring it all together, folks, but I lost it.
And the funny thing is, you know, we'd say, oh, what, like the local county fair? Is that where your pie was judged?
No, it's probably the state fair. It's nationally renowned apple pie winning.
No, she'd say this was like a global, she makes the best pie on the globe. You know,
no, it's a cute little competition between the law school and the medical school at the University of Wisconsin. And my friend and I made so many pies. We tried all these different things, and I made this fantastic pie, and the dean of the law school said it was the best apple pie he ever had, and I won the baking contest.
Well, you got that going for
you. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I mean, along with maybe a couple of other things that you do in life, but yeah, you got that going for you.
I can change the oil on my car. That's all I got. That's all the talent I have. Sorry.
That's it. Yep. Yeah.
That's great.
I lost that ability a long time ago. Mr. Mathers, let's rescue the segment by getting back to what else we can look forward to across civic media. We talked about the sports events. We talked to the Busted Pencils hosts last week about their new show that's on five nights a week instead of once weekly. What else is going on?
Yeah, and we've got an excellent new opportunity for listeners out there to be able to listen to all of their local news right where you catch it here on the radio, but you can download it and have it with you so you never miss a local news segment. You can follow the news podcasts for all of your local stations. So whether you're listening in La Crosse, in Green Bay, in Racine, or Hayward, you can head over to those individual civic media radio websites, and you can download there on the website and listen to the local news podcast or wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. There's a whole slew of different areas you can go and find podcasts. Subscribe to the podcast there as well, and you can take Civic Media's local news with you on the go and never miss a beat.
Very nice. I didn't even get to the national day calendar. I got so distracted by some people were heckling me an hour ago. So it is National Pie Day. I don't know. It's Potato Chip Day. Apparently, we didn't give enough respect to that. Popcorn Lovers Day, Crowdfunding Day, Dog Theft Awareness Day.
Weird.
I know. Although, What's going on in the Waukesha office there right now? Is there?
I'll make sure that she's
Luke Mathers
not stolen.
Has stolen a dog and is holding it up to the camera now for us.
She's staying with me today. It was going to be a long day in the kennel.
Dog to work day. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Essentially,
it's great. So, well, cool.
It'll be a good day here.
Yes, it will. Well, yeah. Anytime you can bring your puppy in, that's awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Mathers.
Absolutely,
hope you have a
Pat.
Great day there.
You as
Can't
well.
Can't wait to do this all on Friday. We're going to bring Kia Vakil in here. We'll have Mark Jacob. We'll have Dan Schumacher and so much more. So remember that Courier Newsroom is the digital outlet, or Up North News, he said, is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier Newsroom. Courier is a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Find us at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great Thursday. See you tomorrow.